You have been such a joy to be with this week. I've been very blessed by your lives and your commitment to the Word of God. And I thank you very much for all your prayers that you have prayed. Now, I want to mention my wife this morning, even though she might not want me to do this, but she's there at home right now. She's not feeling very well, but when we do something up front, there are many others that are doing things behind the scenes that are more important than what those of us up front are doing. So I want to thank my wife for that as she is there listening in. May the Lord reward her. And not only that, but you know, in a week like this, there are certain things that people do that you see, such as teaching or being a principal or leading singing and a number of other things, but then there are more things that get done that you don't see. But you see, that is okay. Those people should be getting recognition. Those people should be getting a reward. Only they don't want a reward because we're part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And as we said yesterday, we are part of the kingdom that in losing we win. And so all those things that have happened this week and the brethren that have poured their lives out in hidden ways is all being recorded. Is all being noticed and will all be duly recompensed in time. Let us stand and sing our chorus. 400, I believe it is 428. 428. You see, I want you to leave this boot camp knowing that the Lord will make a way for you. If you live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, the Lord will always make a way for you. He is that kind of God. Oh, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I want the Lord to have His way with me. This is a prayer. I want the Lord to have His way with me. Though the need be great or small, I would yield to Him my all. I want the Lord to have His way with me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we now commit this last message in this series to you. I pray that whatever is on your heart for us today would come forth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the week. Thank you for each of these dear young people and the commitment that they have to your word. I pray you bless them. I pray that every need that came to this boot camp would be beautifully met by Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You have heard many things this week. You've heard the Word of God. You've seen the standard of the Word of God. And as we have gone through the week, there have been things that have come to your hearts. There have been areas that God has shown you where you need to rise up and live for Him. There are new truths that have opened up to you in ways they never have before. There is higher ground. But the question in your heart is, how will this happen? And because I know myself. And I know that before I have tried to mend these relationships, I know that before I've tried to live different, how will this happen? Because I know so well how I am. I know how easily I forget. Now there was a man. And some of you, I shared this with you, some of you already. There was a man laying beside a pool one day who had been lying there for 38 years. That is how he was. He could not walk. He was laying beside a pool, and that's where he had always been. For 38 years, that is all he knew. He did not know how to walk. Walking was a foreign concept to him. Along comes a man named Jesus and says, "Sir, get up and walk." Now Jesus is making a mistake here because this man cannot walk. Jesus had the wrong man. There are other men that can walk, but I cannot walk, dear Jesus. That would be brother so-and-so. Rise up and walk. And as that man who had never walked for 38 years and didn't know what it was like to walk, as he contorted those twisted and stiff muscles into a position where he could begin to get up off the ground and take a feeble first step, something happened. The power of heaven filled those muscles. Do you understand that? Do you understand that whatever Jesus is asking of you, when you go home, the power of heaven is in that? Any command that comes from our Lord Jesus comes with heaven's power. And so you will be able to walk, even though you have never walked before. You'll be able to relate differently to your dad, even though you have always related this way. If Jesus is asking you to do it, and if you get up because He said to do it, and you do it with a prayer in your heart, and your eyes are on Him, you will be able to walk. That is how you will do it. Someone mentioned to me yesterday that maybe I did not have the understanding of some of the prophecies that we use for our inspiration. There were things in that time and how all that will happen, when Michael will stand up and when the time of trouble is and all those things. I'll just say I'm not a student of biblical prophecy, and that was not the intent of the message yesterday. And I do not wish to do any twisting of the scriptures, but rather seek to take concepts that would inspire us. And that is the heart with which I shared that. I believe that God's people throughout the ages, when they were persecuted, probably took those prophecies in a very special way for their very own, and I believe that we can do the same in our times of trouble. Now, we left our hearts in a state of a little bit of pain yesterday, a little discomfort, a little unsettledness, because we only told part of the story. And for those of you who were not here yesterday, we talked about the time where the Scripture says that God will allow the forces of evil, the wrong kingdom, to prosper for just a little time. And this could be a very confusing time for God's children, because we know that in the end we will win. However, God will allow this to happen. And Jesus said, in a place, the time will come when those who kill you will think they're doing God a service. And He said, I told you this beforehand because I don't want you to be offended. And that was the goal of yesterday's message. But like an unfinished book, We stop there and we wonder, and our hearts are unsettled by that. Like a song, Brother Diane, help me out here. What is that called in a song when you come to a place and you discord briefly? What is that called? Dissonant. But anyway, that's how it is in some songs. There's a place and you get here, you're singing along in the music, and then you come to a place where I don't know enough about music to know how to say this, but there's two notes that are clashing. I guess it's a T and a me, or I don't know what it is. Maybe those blend beautifully, but something's going on in the music, and you're feeling unsettled by that. But it's only temporary. And then as you move on out of that discord into those ending notes, Diane, there's a settledness that comes back in. And it is even more beautiful because of the discord that just happened. So yesterday we ended on that, what Diane called a dissonant. Today we want to end on a major chord. I don't know, I'm sorry. But a chord that makes sense to us. a chord that can leave our hearts feeling settled. Because a dissonant is only for a little short time. And a song that would be full of that would be a sorry song to sing. So this hymn of our lives, this story of these two kingdoms, I just want to assure our hearts this morning that it will end on a right note. That when the final chords are being sung, they will blend in a way that will make sense to the human heart. Because God is writing the hymn. And so when you get to that dissonant or that discord in the hymn, just rest your heart, because there's a better chord coming, which you will be able to be a part of. Rest your heart. The end of the matter is the name of this lesson today. We've been lessons from the book of Daniel has been our theme, and our final lesson today will be the end of the matter. And for this, we're going to turn to Daniel chapter 7. And we have been reading, just picking out little passages out of the book of Daniel here and there to teach us. But you could take the book of Daniel and study it more thoroughly and understand many wonderful things out of these biblical prophecies. But we're here in Daniel chapter 7, and we're just going to break in reading here in verse 25. This is talking about another one of those beasts or horns or kings. Whatever all that is, I do not know, but whatever it is will be a power that will come against the God of heaven, like we talked about yesterday. This is that same power that will be allowed to prevail against the saints for a little period of time. But we're here in verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. And right there when you read those words, you already know that this story will have a particular ending. If you are a student of the Word of God, you already know when you see that this, whatever this power is speaking words against the Most High, this will have to end a certain way. Because you don't speak words against the Most High. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. We read this yesterday. And the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. And the challenge for us today is to live in the reality of the end of the matter. You see, it is more easy to live in temporary realities. Since this kingdom, this other kingdom, in some ways, even now as I speak, is prospering, it is tempting to give some allegiance to that other kingdom because it makes more sense for this present time. But I'm calling us today to fix our eyes way out into the future, and it may not be so very far out, to the end of the matter. Because the end of the matter is what matters. The end of the matter is where it really all hinges on. The temporary is not so important. I find in my life that I am willing to go through many things temporarily if I know that the end of the matter will be better because of it. That makes sense? For example, when you're remodeling your house, it creates a mess in your house. It's not enjoyable to have your house tore up. But if you know, your eyes are set on the end of the matter. You have a vision. You know how this will look when you're done. You're looking forward to those new cabinets and a little more room for hosting strangers and angels unawares in your house. And you just know how that will be. You're willing to go through this time of sawdust and inconvenience because of the end of the matter. Well, I want us to know this morning that the end of the matter is very, very certain. The end of the matter will happen. The end of the matter is not up for debate. The end of the matter has already been predetermined by the King of the Ages. The outcome is certain. There will be an end to the other kingdom. And there will be an end of a beginning for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Daniel chapter 12. We read this yesterday as well, but we're going to read three verses here. Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This is the end of the righteous." It has been predetermined to be. These people, these downtrodden people that we talked about yesterday, that are called to lay down their lives, that are called to be willing to be trampled underfoot, these people that have no rights, these people that wander through the earth looking for a place to live because their houses have been taken away from them, these people will one day shine as the stars in heaven. You see, there is no dishonor, there is no evil speaking, there is nothing that will come against you as a Christian that is not being noticed and is not being recorded. And one day God will make all those things right, but you have to be patient. Because it may not happen in this life. We must wait till the end of the matter. But our reward is certain. Your reward is certain. You, dear young people, if you're faithful, will shine with all the other people of God. There is that within us that longs for fame. It longs for greatness. We long for admiration. We long for honor. And I want to suggest to us that maybe God put those feelings within us to some extent, but the flesh has twisted them. The devil has twisted them. That honor, that glory is for heaven, not for here. But I'll take that a step further and say that according to Scripture, when that honor is placed upon our heads in the form of a crown, we're going to be casting it down at Jesus' feet. So even in heaven, we're not going to want to take that honor to ourselves. But the time will come when God will honor all men who have honored Him. "He that confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." The Eschers sing that beautiful hymn. I think one of them wrote it. "Oh, what a day when we rise to be with Jesus. Oh, glorious day when we walk with Him in white. Oh, matchless joy, there to stand before the throne presented by the Lamb who died for me." That comes out of Jude, or that comes out of one of those books where it says that He will present every man faultless on that day. And these oppressed people, these downtrodden people, these pilgrims and strangers on the earth, the world is not worthy of, will one day be pointed to in a way by Jesus and said, "These are the ones, these are my people. And they will reign with me." That is the end of the matter. You can wait for that time. You don't need to get that honor here. You can be dishonored by all men because you know the end of the matter. But you must be patient. You must wait. This is not your time. We're not home yet. You see, the world around us is at home. This is their only time. This is all they have. They must do the best they can to have a good life now because this is it. This is their only time of prospering. This is the only time that this kingdom will be allowed any measure of prospering. So don't be surprised that those around you who are in the other kingdom are going about busily trying to have a happy life. All the pleasure, it's a very selfish life, pleasure and fame, and I need it all now, I won't get any later. I understand that. That's all you have. But we are waiting for a different day. We are waiting for the end of the matter. Turn over to Revelation chapter 17. You see, everything will be made right. Remember that story I told you yesterday of that lady who was burned at the stake and her child was taken away from her? And that story troubled some of your hearts. And I'm sorry for that. However, that lady knew the end of the matter. And we know the end of the matter. We don't know what that lady is experiencing right now even. But the end of the matter. That is why that story does not need to trouble us so much. The people of God have always had to live with that eagle's eye that has seen far beyond the present, way into the distant future. That is how the people of God live. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. We'll start reading verse 13. These have one mind. Again, here there's 10 kings, there's beasts, there's kingdoms. I don't know what all that is, but it's going to be powers that will come and have come and are coming against the people of God. They have one mind, it says in Revelation chapter 17, verse 13, and shall give their power and strength unto this beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. The Lamb will overcome. There is no doubt. Yesterday we marveled at how the king of this kingdom subjected himself willingly under the evil hand of the other kingdom for a time. But He must win. He is the Lamb. He is the Son of God. He is God. And there is no doubt but that one day, rise, glorious conqueror, rise. The Lamb will overcome. This slain Lamb. This meek and gentle Jesus, this as a lamb to the slaughter Jesus, will one day overcome. And so will overcome all those who are on His side. The Lamb shall overcome. Rise, glorious conqueror, rise into thy native skies. But we are followers of the One who subjected Himself unto men and under men and for men for a time. And so do we. But if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. If we are crucified with Him, we shall also rise with Him. This is the victory. And the saints are standing on the sea of glass, mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over His image, and over His mark, and over the number of His name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. This is a beautiful scene. This is something to lay awake at night dreaming of. This may be what that dear sister in that jail cell meditated on. You see, we spend too much time daydreaming about how I would get some glory, and then this would happen, and he would say, and then she would say, and then, yeah. No. Daydream on this one. The sea of glass. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. You need nothing more. You need no recognition in this life. You need no praise of men. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Savior praises. What are men? To hear those words, well done. Well done. Should be enough for any of us. Well done, Bethany. If you would hear those words from God, you would need nothing else. Nothing else. But what we stumble over is the fact that this chord that will make sense, this chord that will be sung so beautifully, is still not here. And we're in that discordant time, and it's hard for us. But the end is not yet. But the end will come. The Lamb will overcome. Evil will not win. Every wrong will be made right. Every injustice will be straightened out. Every secret will be made known. Every evil thing that has been said falsely will be set to right however the Lord sees fit. There will be plenty of time in eternity to correct all the wrongs that have ever been committed throughout all the ages. And here may be a martyr in some remote place and nobody even knows about him. And here he is suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. He's not in the martyr's mirror. He's not in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. He's not in the budget or boat shaft or in the charity Christian missions. But he's in heaven's book, so that's okay. And there will be time in heaven to lift that martyr, to tell his story. There will be time for Jesus to honor him in whatsoever way he sees fit for that martyr. And there are many of those. I'm sure there are. But heaven will make it right. Heaven will make it right. There are things that happen in this life that stir you up because of the injustice. Heaven will make it right. The end of the matter. Justice is the Lord's. This is the way we walk through difficult cases. This is why I've seen brethren paying, being sued and paying gladly things they should have never have had to pay. They knew the end of the matter. That's all right. That's okay. This is the end of the righteous kingdom. Where is that? Can I have your chorus book, Timothy? Could you please bring me your chorus book? You're singing a hymn that I will read here because this is a powerful song. And when you sing it tonight, you will sing it with this message in mind and it will show on your faces this excitement for the time when the conqueror will mount in triumph. See the conqueror mount in triumph. See the king in royal state riding on the clouds his chariot to his heavenly palace gate. Hark the choirs of angel voices. Joyful hallelujahs sing. And the portals high are lifted to receive their heavenly King. Who is this that comes in glory with the trump of jubilee? Lord of battles, God of armies, He has gained the victory. He who on the cross did suffer, He who from the grave arose, He has vanquished sin and Satan. He by death has spoiled His foes. He has raised our human nature into the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places. There with Him in glory stand. Jesus reigns adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in Thine ascension we by faith behold our own. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Dying, risen, ascending for us, who the heavenly realm has won. Glory to the Holy Spirit, to one God in persons three. Glory both in earth and heaven. Glory, endless glory be. He will rise in triumph. But we must always remember that before He rose, He died. And His glory is so much greater. Heaven marvels. Heaven says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Why do they need to keep bringing in that was slain? He's not slain anymore. He's not on the cross anymore. Why is it so important for heaven to keep drawing our attention to the fact that this lifted up Lamb was slain? How much greater is the glory because of it? And what all heavenly mysteries are there that in dying we live? And the end of that story yesterday of that dear lady who gave her life is that, and I don't know how factual this account is, but two other people, through her death, gave their allegiance to the Lamb. And that is how it works. In dying we win, in losing we find. Rise, glorious conqueror, rise. His victory is certain. The victory of His people is certain. These people that you struggle with, to identify with here, will win. These people that you find it a challenge to blend your hearts with here, will win. These despised people that you struggle with, I don't know if I want to be with them because I could just tell that the world doesn't think very highly of these people. They will be lifted up at the end of the matter. And I believe, and this is the last part of my message here this morning, I believe that there's a lot of struggle in our hearts as a result of never making a clear decision which of these people we will identify with. Now, I believe that many of you have made that decision very clearly, and I bless you for that, but for the sake of perhaps a few whose hearts are not settled, and for the sake of all of us, because our hearts can at any moment become unsettled, I want to share this last part of this message. There is a certain unsettledness in the heart of someone who has never decided that I will be on the side of this losing kingdom the kingdom that's losing now. And there's a certain unsettledness there. And I look across this group, and I'm not talking about clothes that I see here this morning, because you look fine, okay? I'm not harping on you because I see something here that of clothing. No. But there's an unsettledness, regardless of what clothes you're wearing, regardless of how well you're trying to obey, there's an unsettledness in the heart of those who have never made this clear commitment, this clear break with the other kingdom, and this clear allegiance to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see, as we look at this clash between these two kingdoms, we talked about it yesterday, there are two kingdoms, we know that. There's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and there's the kingdom, that's supposed to be a cross, there's the kingdom of this world, and we know, and we saw this yesterday, that these kingdoms are in a battle, and that there's a clash here, and these kingdoms cannot be friends. And as we look at the battle, and the intensity of this battle, and the fact that people are losing their lives in this battle, we begin to long for a third option. Our hearts just are looking, isn't there a way? Because I really want to be a part of this kingdom for heaven. That would be a blessing. But then what about the fact that the people of this kingdom don't seem to be very popular? There's so much of that's a problem for me in this kingdom. But I definitely don't want to be on this side. So I would like to just find a place. And then a beautiful way opens up for us here in the middle. Right here. A third option opens up, a third way, and our hearts rejoice by that third way, and our flesh gravitates toward that, and we breathe a sigh of relief because the stakes are too high here. I could never lay down my life. That could never happen, but yet I certainly do not want to be with this kingdom. And so to our relief and to our longing eyes and to the reassurance of our unsettled soul, there opens up a third option for us here in the middle. It's hard to throw in your lot with this kingdom when the king is on a cross. It was very hard for the disciples. It wasn't hard for his mother. She loved him. She was there. But for the disciples, it was very difficult. It was very scary. This has never been a very safe kingdom to be a part of if you didn't want to die. And there hangs the king on the cross. And if I would go and say, my Jesus, what might those Roman soldiers do to me? And yet here is this other kingdom and I could not be a part of it. I know where it's going to end up. So this would be my choice. And then we're in our churches and we want to have we want the best of both. We want the recognition of our church. We want to belong in our church. We want to be well thought of. We definitely want to be able to get married someday. So we're certainly going to conform to some things in this kingdom, as we think. And definitely do enough to, I don't want to be called into a minister's meeting or something of that nature. So I certainly want to be, I certainly wouldn't want to go to hell. But there's so much over here that's still very attractive to us. There is an intrigue of the heart. There is a fascination that finds ways to delight itself in this other kingdom, regardless of how you're dressed or not. And certainly this can affect your clothing, but we're not talking about clothing, but we're talking about an intrigue of the heart. And this intrigue and fascination of the heart causes endless struggle. It causes confusion. You're confused. You're not experiencing heaven's grace. You're not experiencing the joy. You see people around you experiencing all this joy. They love to be a part of this kingdom. And they're going to the stake singing hymns. But that's just not you. There's too much fascination with this kingdom. And you know what it is in this kingdom that's fascinating you. It can be any number of things. It can be power. It can be fame. It can be money. It can be sports. It can be sin. It can be anything. It could be cars. It could be a trophy buck. It could be anything that is keeping your heart away from this kingdom. You know, when you're trying to define the world, that gets a little sticky. Jesus said, love not the world. What is the world? But this morning, I want you to think of the world as whatever it is that is keeping you from this wholehearted, just thrown in your life with these people and with this king on the cross. That would be the world for you. Love not the world is not necessarily Broadway in Nashville. We would not want to do Broadway in Nashville. You wouldn't. But this middle road is a cause for some concern, I think. This middle road is what I would want us to, if I would lay awake at night, I would think this would be a cause to lay awake at night. The middle road for us. The third road. Jesus called it the broad road. I've becoming more convinced that when Jesus was talking about the broad road, maybe he wasn't talking about the throngs on Broadway in Nashville. The heathen who know that they're here. And that may well be included in the broad road. But I wonder sometimes if the Broadway might be this middle road. This road that has allegiance to both kingdoms. This road where you can experience blessings from here and blessings from here. You link arms with brethren from here and friends from here. And it's a struggle. Granted, you're not really at peace because your heart is constantly this way and then this way and then this way and then this way and you're confused. But it's still a fairly comfortable road to walk on. At least you're not being excommunicated. At least you're not going to go to hell. So, yeah. Some of this pleasure and some of this. And you wonder why you're not experiencing the joy of living for Jesus. The end of the other kingdom is just as certain as the end of our kingdom. And it's good for us to know the end of the other kingdom. Because that which draws us, this intrigue we have, this fascination, would probably be reduced just a little bit if the Lord would give you the eyes of faith to see in just a few short years what this other kingdom will look like. Now Lot missed it. Lot stayed in Sodom too long. He almost missed it. But if Lot could have seen in his mind's eyes, he was there that beautiful summer night in Sodom on the streets there with the stars may have been shining more beautifully than ever. The warm breezes were blowing in across the grass there, and Lot was in, the lights were bright, and everything was a blessing there in the gate. If Lot could have seen that in less than 24 hours this place was going to be a pile of ash, I believe he would have got out of there. But as it was, he barely made it and his family didn't. He stayed in Sodom too long. But it was nice in Sodom. But if God would give us the eyes of faith to see how in just a short time what this will look like, it might make us want to move away. It would make you want to get your stuff and get out of there. Lot wanted to do what was right. But he was certainly a citizen of Sodom also. You will always struggle in your Christian life if you have never agonized over this decision and then made it. You will always struggle. You might, in some ways I would say you might as well just hang it up. But don't hang it up. But you know what I'm saying? If you're not happy over here anyway. I feel very sorry for the people that get nothing here or there. I feel very sorry for the people that get something here but not there. This is a little difficult for me to share this. There's those of you who need to just listen to what Brother Dale is going to say in the next message. This is a little hard for me to share. This would not be something to unsettle the heart of any person who is struggling with a lack of assurance that this would be to unsettle the heart of anyone who has found the middle road to be such a blessed solution to your dilemma. I wish to unsettle you. I wish to tell you that this road, although it walks and links arms with both sides, although it has some of heaven's blessings on it, appears like, although it can dress right, although it can do a lot of different things, the end of this road is certain and sure. You see, because Jesus set up His kingdom and said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Jesus will not take a half-hearted commitment, but this kingdom will. This kingdom is just fine with that. This kingdom is absolutely happy with that. This is a tremendous victory for this kingdom. If someone is somewhat spiritual, but yet their allegiance is over here, that is a delight to this kingdom because it brings confusion. It brings, it offends people. It drives people away. And so this kingdom is just ready to welcome this road. In fact, there's a highway being built even now. The people from this kingdom are doing it, and the king of this kingdom is doing it. There's an exit up here, and all lanes must exit. And that highway is being built this way, and not this way. There is a highway here, but there's a cross here, and it scares people, but there is a highway. But it's not nearly as broad, it's not nearly as comfortable. All lanes must exit. Everything that is well thought of in this kingdom here and now will come to nothing in a moment. The scripture teaches that the proud men, the mighty men, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. The heroes of this other kingdom, the people that are looked up to, the people whose approval is sought, the people whose lives these other people are patterning after, will be reduced in a moment to a state of groveling before the Lamb. Rocks and mountains fall on us. Where is the poise? Where is the confidence? Where is the security? Where is the Facebook page? Where is it? It's gone at the face of the Lamb. Why would you admire someone who in just a short moment of time will be asking for a very foolish thing, a mountain to fall and hide me? That is foolish. That is desperate. There is no poise there. There's nothing to admire in that. Mountains cover me! But they're the people you're looking to. The end of the matter is very simple. This kingdom's doom is sure. I was going to read in Revelation chapter 18. I was going to read that whole chapter, but I will not have time. But there you have the city of Babylon, which is a type of the world. It's a type of this kingdom. This city is burning, and all the people who had done business in Babylon are standing there at the edge of this burning lake and marveling, oh dear, what has happened to Babylon? How can this be? This was a prosperous city. This is where I did my business. Oh, get your interests out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people, lest ye be partakers of her plagues. The end of this kingdom is very, very certain. Everything you see, it will all be reversed. In this life here and now, these people have honor. These people have glory. These people have comfort. These people have ease. These people have houses. These people have lands. These people have everything they wish for. These are wandering in dens and caves of the earth. These are despised. These are rejected. These are dishonored. These are evil spoken of. But in just a short time, that will all be reversed. These will have... You know what these will have. Isn't it ironic that it says in that scripture they'll be trying to hide in dens? We've heard about dens before, dens and caves of the earth. When do you want your dens? The ship is sinking. There was a crew in October 2012, there was an old tourist attraction ship. It was a tall sailing ship called the Bounty. And it was there in the Atlantic. This is the true story battling the waves of Hurricane Sandy. They should not have been out there, but the captain said, this ship is safer on the ocean than at harbor in a hurricane. So they were there, and they were battling with the waves, and water was coming into the ship. But they were in communication with the Coast Guard, had helicopters there. They were planning that before this ship goes under, we will do an orderly descent out of this vessel into our life crafts. We will have an orderly... I know this is how it will shake out. You're right, Brother Isaac. And certainly before that happens, I will have my orderly descent into my life raft. But they miscalculated. The ship went down quicker than they thought. There is no time for an orderly descent. You had better get off the sinking ship now. And I will close with the words of Lot, the words of the angels who came to rescue Lot out of that city. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. I'm calling you, if you never made that clear decision, please do not let this third road deceive you. May the Lord add his blessing there.